Once again, we get a reading from 1 Peter, and this will be the last time we really engage with it. Next week, we'll engage with a passage that has to do with the ascension of Christ, which is coming up soon in church calendar. Peter's recipients of his letter, they're people that are undergoing suffering and persecution, and we don't know fully what they're undergoing. But in this letter, in this passage, we get a little bit of an explanation as to why they are suffering. And I'll read verses 13 and 14 again for you. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Apparently, these Christians living in these small communities in what is now modern-day Turkey are suffering persecution, and here Peter lays it out for him. You're going to suffer even when you do the right thing. And the right thing here is living according to God's commands. It's loving God and loving neighbor. And now that alone, suffering for doing good, is concerning enough. But far more concerning and possibly troubling is something that Peter alludes to later on in this passage, and something that our psalm alludes to as well. Look at verse 17 of 1 Peter 3. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will. If suffering should be God's will. And here we have the problem that has plagued humanity throughout the ages. Where does suffering come from? And here Peter lays it out for us. It could be coming from God Himself. Listen again to Psalm 66, the first few verses here, verses 8 to 12. It starts with verses of praise, but then turns pretty fast. All of you people, come praise our God. Let His praises be heard. God protects us from death and keeps us steady. Our God, You tested us, just as silver is tested. You trapped us in a net and gave us heavy burdens. You sent war chariots to crush our skulls. We traveled through fire and through floods, but You brought us to a land of plenty. The psalmist and Peter both attribute suffering to something that God allows. And in fact, Peter uses those words, God's will. And that can be a hard pill to swallow. Because we ask ourselves, why would God, who is love, do such a thing to us? About Christmas time, I had a tooth that just broke in half, and I knew I needed to do something about it. I had to go to that place that nobody likes to go to, which is the dentist. And so I made an appointment, and I went to the dentist, and I knew that I was in for some real suffering. So they laid me on the table, and they brought a bunch of needles in, and they started jabbing into my jaw and poking me and injecting these things, and all of a sudden my mouth was numb. And then they took what I can only imagine was a pliers, like the same kind I would use to pull a hook out of a fish. And they grabbed that tooth and they started yanking, and my head was going every direction, and I thought, are you trying to take my jaw out of my skull? Would this be easier for you to do to get this tooth out? And they were even warning me while they were doing this, don't worry if you hear some cracking noises. It's just the tooth cracking. I'm like, okay, we'll not worry about that. Eventually they get it out, and all of a sudden I'm bleeding profusely. And for the next few hours, even at home, I'm bleeding until I take a tea bag and I put it in my mouth, and then I get the pleasant taste of blueberry in my mouth. And that took care of it. I went through suffering in order to be healed. Because if they didn't do that, infection could have occurred. Worse things could have happened to me. The day after Elijah was born, my brother Jared, who we've been praying for, went into brain surgery. The very day after Elijah was born. Because he has a tumor in his head. And I saw him this past weekend, and he's got this gigantic scar along the side of his head. It goes like an S right down here. And then it was one of those all-day surgeries where he was actually awake and conscious as they were pulling this thing out of his head. And they told him he wouldn't remember it, but he actually does. 3 weeks after that, they start giving Jared chemotherapy, and they start blasting him with radiation. Radiation 5 days a week, chemotherapy by pills every day for like 9 weeks or something. And you know, you've heard about chemotherapy, you've heard about radiation, some of you experienced it. For many people, it is awful things. For Jared, not as bad. But it seems like it shouldn't be that way, right? That these awful things, this poison that you put into your body shouldn't happen. You shouldn't do these kind of things. Yet they did it for Jared, and they've done it for countless other people because it works and it brings healing. And so you go through this suffering and these difficult times of trial because it's supposed to make you better. The Lord uses suffering in our lives for the same purposes. And when I think of it, I think there's basically four categories in which God might allow us to go through suffering and into difficult situations to do something for us. One of those categories, the first one is to discipline you, to correct you. And here I think of the story of Jonah and the big fish. Jonah was going the wrong way. He was doing the opposite of what God wanted him to do. And so what does God do? God shipwrecks him and throws him into the water and then swallows him with a big fish. He tears Jonah down so that Jonah would come to a point where he repents and confesses his sin and his wrongdoing so that he goes the right direction. The Lord disciplined Jonah. Another reason God might put suffering into us is to strengthen us. And here I think of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, he writes about how God has put a thorn in his flesh. And we don't know what this thorn is. We don't know what Paul is suffering. But Paul tells us that three times I prayed for this thorn to be taken away from me. But three times the Lord tells me, no. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is found in your weakness. And so the Lord strengthens Paul and his faith through this suffering. Another reason we might go through suffering is maybe God wants to draw us back into his sheepfold. And here I think of the prodigal son who abandons and leaves his father, demands his share of the inheritance, and goes off into wild living until a famine comes and the son is forced to work with pigs and comes to a point where he finally realizes, you know, I need to go back to my father. And the father greets him with kindness, runs out to meet him. The suffering the son endures brings him back to his father. And then the last category that I think suffering might be put into our lives, another reason why we might go through the trials of life, is for the benefit of other people. Here, I think of the story in Genesis of Joseph. Joseph was one of the youngest brothers of 13 brothers. He was the second youngest. And he's thrown into a pit by his brothers, by all his older brothers, because they can't stand him. They think he's bragging to them too much because he's their father's favorite son. They throw him into a pit. And out of the pit, he's sold into slavery. And out of slavery, he is wrongly accused of abusing a woman or trying to rape a woman. He's wrongly accused of this. And so then he's thrown into jail. But from jail, he is finally put into Pharaoh's high court. And once he's in the high court, he is put in a position of power. And what does he do? He helps his brothers and his family to get through a terrible famine that's in the land. God put Joseph into suffering so that he could eventually be a benefit to his family and help the line of Israel endure. It's an amazing story. And in fact, Joseph says at the end of Genesis, "Who knows but that God didn't put me in this situation for this very purpose." When we look at suffering, it feels alien to God's nature. It doesn't seem like it fits with what we know about God. And to a great point, that is true. But the fact is that God is willing to use things that are alien to Him in order that you might see those good and beautiful things about God, that you might learn of His forgiveness, that you might encounter His kindness, see His love, know His Son. The gold standard for this, of course, and the most clear example of God using this this alien thing, this suffering, this pain, for the benefit of others, for your benefit, than Jesus Christ Himself. And again, we see this in 1 Peter, verse 18. "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God." Christ suffered. Christ died in order to bring you to a knowledge of the Father. That is the work of God for us. That is the gold standard. And it's not an example necessarily to follow, though it is there, but it's something for us to know, to be encouraged by, to latch our hope onto, to know what God has done for you. And so we hear these words about suffering this morning, and my hope is that we would keep them in our minds as life continues to come at us, and know that just maybe God is doing a work, and He is doing a work for your eventual good, that you might know the Father, know Him better than you did before. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, none of us likes to suffer. But we pray that in Your Word that we would be encouraged by it, and that we would know that even these things that seem alien and foreign to You are done for good. And that through them we might come to a deeper faith in You, might be called back to You, or might go through something that brings someone else to faith. O Lord, in all these times we ask that you would be our strength and that we would rely on you in prayer and come before you as our Maker, our Creator, our loving and heavenly Father. O Lord, give us faith where our faith falters. We pray this in your name. Amen.